I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. You know, about 20 years ago, maybe you know this part of my story, my hubby battled cancer. And I watched my giant oak of a husband go weak and shaky and very vulnerable. He'd been strong and healthy, a kind of a high producer, and he was curled under a blanket and trembling. And it was quite a sight for me to see. It was really to my undoing in some ways, because it made me realize how much I'd been hoping in him, where I needed to be hoping in God. But Kev would tell you that though he never wants to go through that again, he wouldn't trade it for anything. It changed his life. So here's my question for you. Do you have a battle that you can say that about, that you've gone through something that you say, I don't ever want to go through it again, but it's changed me in a way for the better, so I wouldn't trade it for anything? I want to know. Will you text me? Text me at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. What battle have you walked through that you say, don't want to do it again, but I wouldn't trade it for the world? 877-933-2484. Well, my friend, author, speaker, Lisa Whittle joins me today to talk about her amazing new book. She's such a good writer, has so much amazing content. Her new book is titled The Hard Good, Showing Up for God to Work in You When You Want to Shut Down. And she writes this, our hard places are teaching us invaluable lessons while we are looking for a way to push them away. Hear that again. Our hard places are teaching us invaluable lessons while we are looking for a way to push them away. God wants to make much of your life. He has anointed and appointed you for a special purpose. Yes, even knowing about the hard that would come your way. But you will determine your level of usability for the kingdom of God in the way that you respond to it. We've got a handful of copies of Lisa's book, The Hard Good, Showing Up for God to Work in You When You Want to Shut Down. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Quick question before we hear from Lisa. I just want to know how we can pray for you. We are a praying team. We love to pray for you. You want to let us know, you can either text your prayer request in or you can hop on our website, myfaithradio.com, and there's a link right there on that homepage. Let me tell you about my guest. We've had her on the show plenty of times, so doesn't really need an introduction, but I want to honor her just the same. Lisa Whittle is the author of 8 books, and her wit and bold bottom line approach have made her a sought-after Bible teacher, a pastor's daughter, and longtime ministry leader in issues relevant to the church. She is a founder of Ministry Strong and the popular Jesus Over Everything podcast. Her love runs deep to see people pursue Jesus for life, grow deep roots of faith, and walk strong in the midst of a world that so often seems to have gone crazy. She and her family live in North Carolina. Lisa, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Susie. What joy to be with you.
And you as well. Congratulations, my friend. Excellent book.
Oh, thank you. You always pull out the best parts. I love to hear what you think and what you have to say about things that are in the book.
I'm so grateful. I was telling my producers before the show, I mean, you really are such a good writer. I mean, some have mastered the craft, but maybe don't have the content. Some have the content, but maybe need work on the craft. And I just feel like God has given you both, and I know you've worked hard for that. So I'm looking forward to digging in. And, you know, we always start the show talking scripture, just wanting to know, just out of your time with the Lord, what has He been saying to you these days?
You know, I've found such comfort in comforting verses. I think probably a lot of people can relate to that. There's a passage that I've read lately that I find I love so much. It's in Revelation, actually, Revelation 7, 16 through 17, and it says, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And that's been comforting me lately, Susie. I just am so grateful for the promise of heaven and our Lord who's so good to us.
Indeed. And boy, that scripture does tell us to fix our eyes on things eternal, because what we see before us is temporary, and it can really steal our joy. And I mean, I love the title, The Hard Good. I mean, it just, Of course you're going to write a book like this. Just fantastic. So talk to us, if you would. You said this book's been brewing in you for a long time.
It has. I think, you know, if I look back at my life, I think this has been sort of the journey of my life. I think it's the journey of a lot of our lives in many ways. I just think that God gave me language for it when my father went to heaven in 2017. It was really just sort of this picture of, you know, looking at my father's life, who was this, you know, this pastor who had all of these gifts for the kingdom of God, and God used him greatly, but at the same time, he also struggled greatly, and I had a front row seat to that. And, you know, in many ways, we were similar, had very similar personalities and similar gifting, actually. And I really felt like the Lord, when my father died, said to me, you know, what are you going to do with all you know? And it was sort of just not a call to be more busy, but it was a call to say, you've watched this, you know, struggle in your own father, and you have this experience from your own life of what it's like to sort of allow God to chisel you through hard things or run away from that process. Because I have to admit, Susie, a lot of my life, I have been a person who's wanted to run away. And yet I so desperately want God to use my life, and I don't want to go through pain for it to be purposeless. And so, you know, God really just began to inspire this process in me to look at what would happen if we would allow God to use the hard things in our life for the good. And really, that's how the book came to be.
You know, as much as you feel like sharing, you know, you talked about that early on, before Christian celebrity was a thing or even a phrase, before social media, your dad was sort of that guy. I mean, there. Explain
yeah.
that and talk about how some of his battles impacted you. Because it's interesting to me, Lisa, that God was grooming you for a public ministry. You know, he was grooming you for it. And here you get a front row seat, not only gifting, but heartbreak. So maybe as much as you feel comfortable, share that part of your story.
Yeah. You know, it's something that has always kind of frightened me, Susie, if I'm being completely honest. And it kept me from serving the Lord for a long time, because I didn't know, I couldn't figure it out. You know, I watched my father, who, as I said, you know, had this very public ministry. I think pastors in some way all kind of are like, in some way, are like mini celebrities. I know that sounds kind of crazy, and I don't say that to mean that I think it should be that way necessarily, but I mean, you know, revered, respected, and I think the position is a position of respect, so I love that. Also held to a very high standard, but it can be very confusing to a child in a way, because, you know, you watch that and you watch people love than life figure who lives in your home, and what you crave is that fatherly input and that spiritual leader in your home, but yet you also watch them on a stage. So it becomes very confusing. And the thing that frightened me, I think, was watching my father have this very public fall that was well noted in our town, and really kind of made the 6 o'clock news. And so for me, I thought, I know God's calling me to serve him in a public way, but it scares me because I don't know if I can do it without having some kind of a public fall like that. You know, I couldn't reconcile gifts and using them publicly and how all that worked together. And so I ran for many, many years from the call of God on my life. And so it was very confusing, but God was using that for me to be able to do what I do now and speak into that and love the church in a very unique way. So I am grateful for that.
Boy, it's really great. You know, this may seem a tiny bit off topic, but I don't think it is. But many people have what is called an imposter syndrome or a fear of exposure, and they feel called to step up. Maybe it isn't to a public ministry, but no matter how they step up and step out, that they'll be found out a fraud, they'll be found out a weakling. And the thing is, God knows that the enemy is sitting in the shadows, waiting to accuse, waiting, you know, to. And what I think is so amazing about the way God prepares us is in the hard, because he really is extracting from our character the very things the enemy would use against us if we didn't lean in. And so the hard is really good. And I sense that, and I've seen, the people that God uses the greatest are the ones that sometimes hurt the most. So maybe speak to that whole idea.
I think that's so true. That's so good, Susie, because, You know, the one thing that I've realized through going through some hard things and even watching my father's public fall is I don't fear exposure in the same way, because I am committed to truth, and I'm committed to authenticity, and not in a buzzword kind of a way. And so I do think what happens is, you know, you are committed to just being very real before the Lord and who you are. I mean, you know, none of us are perfect, and we are also all on a real pretty even playing field here. You know, there's only one who is sovereign. There's only one who is supreme, and it's not no one human. And so The rest of us are all quite on the same playing field. And I think, you know, that was one reason why in the book, The Hard Good, I wanted to talk about what good actually means, because for a lot of us, we go through our life and we look at people who we might consider more gifted, or we might consider to have a good life versus our life, which doesn't look as good as theirs. And because of that sort of culture's definition, we spend our life feeling like we've done something wrong. And because of that, I thought it was really important to say, let me show you what Scripture actually has to say about what good really is. Otherwise, we think that somehow if we've gone through hard things, it's because we're not good people. And that's just simply not true. And so I felt like that was something really important to tackle early on in the book, The Hard Good, so we'd know actually what God says about what good is.
And, you know, it's a perfect place to break. When we come back, we'll talk about what is good. Maybe your idea of good needs to be reframed. We'll also talk about when life hasn't turned out the way you want. Maybe there's some disappointment when you're looking at parts of your life going, how do I have joy while this is still hanging out there? How do I have joy while that prodigal is still away, while the marriage is still hanging in the balance? How do I have joy when there's parts of my story that I wish were so different than they are? Well, Lisa Whittle addresses that in her new book, The Hard Good, Showing Up for God to Work in You When You Want to Shut Down. I love that, showing up for God to work in you. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. It asks you to text in if there's a battle that you don't want to go through again, but you wouldn't trade. Kathy says, I was thrown into something I never wanted. My husband of 49 years divorced me. Found out that our battles are all an onslaught of the character of God. I found out that our battles are all an onslaught of the character of God. It's all about trusting in His goodness, His holiness, His trustworthiness. He is worthy of our trust. I heard a preacher on Faith Radio say today, set your sail, don't watch the gale. Very good, Kathy. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend Lisa Whittle. She's a great, great author, speaker. Her new book is titled The Hard Good, Showing Up for God to Work in You When You Want to Shut Down. And I just asked for a few testimonies of people who'd say, you know, this is something I walked through, don't want to go through it again, wouldn't trade it for what God did in it. This is Donna, she says, RN of over 30 years. I, too, have had immune system, blood disorders, etc. RN OB nurse, 1995, had to release my infant daughter to return home to the Lord after heart surgery infection. 7 years ago, after my husband did not return home from work, I heard the Holy Spirit to go look for him, and I found him murdered. In all this, I prayed, if God wanted me to marry again, that He would bring me a godly man so we could serve Him together. We are in ministry out of Texas. We are called on to start a Christian TV network. God has continued to heal, but I would not trade these difficult times for all that God is using me for. Never felt God has left me, that He's only refining me. I recently found your ministry through a friend, Dr. Mark Sherwood. You've been the first woman in ministry in a long time that has touched my heart. Wow. So grateful for your ministry. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers, and thanks for that story. My goodness. So, Lisa, I'm sure you're hearing plenty of stories as you've written this book. Talk, if you would, redefine the word good for those of us who maybe need a fresh perspective.
Wow, gosh, I'm so moved by that testimony, first of all, and that is the testimony of so many people. By the way, today was my parents' anniversary if my daddy were still alive, and so, you know, living in the tension of that, and my mom obviously has gone, if you know anything about the story, she's gone on to marry someone who I deeply love. But, you know, you just always live in that tension. You know, I believe the hard and the good, Susie. But, yeah, it's so important to redefine good. I was saying before the break that because we have, you know, bought into this culture's idea of what is good, we spend a lot of our time in comparison and saying their life is a good life and my life doesn't look like that, or we just really misunderstand what we're even going for in life, and we forget that that the truth about good are things like God is good. And I mean that not just as this phrase or this, I think sometimes when we hear things like that, it just rolls off our tongue. So or we've heard it so many times, it begins to feel small. But in his very nature, God is good. Like, you cannot separate God and his goodness. So anything that draws us to him, since we know that God is our light, our salvation, our hope, our peace, the thing that we need the most, anything that draws us to the good will be good for us. And then growth, we know, is good. That means that we cannot be good without process and without progress. And, Susie, a good life is a life of kingdom usability. It is not a life of ease. It is not a life of fame. It is not a life of fortune. And we know that verse, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. It does not say all things work out. It says all things work together. And that means, you know, like in the story of that testimony and of so many others, that the totality of our life is the working together. And I'm just so grateful for the word of God that we know even what good means, because otherwise I think a lot of us would feel like all of this hard that we're going through in life is for nothing. It is purposeless pain. And what I've found to be true of most people is that if we know and we believe in something more than this furnace of pain that we feel sometimes, there is an endurance factor that is different, and and that's why we have the hope of heaven.
So beautiful, Lisa. I mean, I marvel when I think back to how many times I wrongly framed my disappointments, which really can steal your joy, ruin your day, and the enemy just has to sit back and let you sabotage your own life because you're telling yourself an inferior story, so to speak. And yet everybody listening today can say, I would imagine, there's parts of my life that aren't what I thought they would be. I'm feeling maybe disappointment around that. And you say that if we knew what acceptance actually was and the good that it does, we might be more open to it. Unpack that, if you would, a bit more.
Oh, gosh, Susie. You know, this is something that has been so key for me. And you can even read this chapter for free because it's chapter one in The Hard Good. But one of the things that's been so crucial for me is this piece of acceptance, accepting something that wish for something different. We wish for something different because you're right. All of us do have something that we wish were something different. And one of the things that I've felt in my entire life was just this belief in the back of my head, if I push back against this somehow, even emotionally, that I can somehow refuse it, that I can make it not true. And what it does instead is just keep me in this constant state of angst and pain, because acceptance is just such an important piece for our own freedom. It is not the same as preference. And I think that distinction really, really set me free, because I think I believed somewhere that I had to prefer it. You know, that by accepting something, I was saying, well, I prefer that happened, you know, and it's not that. It's not that at all. It is a key to your freedom. And so I talk in that chapter one, in the acceptance chapter, about the stifling what ifs that we spend a lot of time on. And they usually center around one of three: what if I, what if they, and what if God? And so, you know, we ask ourselves a lot of times, you know, well, what if I had done this differently or hadn't done this? Or, you know, what if they had done this differently or hadn't done this? Or what if God? And, you know, so moving from that place, from this, what I call the stifling what ifs, to what is and what now, which is such a scriptural principle, is it's so key and so important, because there is so much now that we can still find joy in, and you know, God can use. And if we are listening right now and there's breath in our bodies, then God has something for us still. And that's really powerful.
Sure is, Lisa. How has that played out in your own life when you move from what if to a what is? How did you enter a place of peace and rest, and even a trust that, you know, my story's not over yet? My friend Jody said to me years ago, if your story's not good yet, it's because God's not done yet. And I sure love that, you know, because he's still writing the story. But how did you learn to do that?
Well, I think, you know, part of it was realizing that I had to let go of some things. I think a lot of us just hang on. You know, again, scriptural to let go of the past and look forward to what is ahead. You know, letting go is super important. And I think, you know, one of the things I talk about in chapter one was even letting go of a need to know something. There was something even about my father that I talk about in that chapter, a rumor that was started about him. And honestly, Susie, that was hard for me to talk about. I haven't talked about it publicly at all, ever. And it was difficult for me to talk about it, but I knew that there were some people that were like me that were at a place in their life at one point, maybe that point for them is now, for me it was in the past, that were struggling with a sort of a missing piece of the puzzle that they would never know. And that part of acceptance for them would be letting go of the need to know. Because it's not true that we can't go on with our life without knowing some of that information. That is to a great degree faith. That is to a great degree deference to God, that even though I don't know, God in his sovereignty does. And there's this belief, and God's really been working on me with this, that if I truly believe the two words, God knows, that I would rest differently, that I would wrestle differently if I truly believed in the omniscience of God. And so I think that piece alone, there's a lot of us that we may never know something that we really want to know. And I wanted to tell people, you can live with that, and you can even live well with that, because there's something about my father I'll just never know, and he's in heaven, and that's okay. And so I learned to let that go in my own life, and it's given me a lot of peace and joy and freedom.
You know, it really does speak to that. Cease striving and know him, know that he is God. And get ready to go to a break. But it's so interesting as we start to accept, and we're not, as you say, saying this is my preference, but as we enter into a place of surrender, I think it's where God gives us a divine strategy. Remember when two of my three boys, at the same time, two of my boys were wandering from the faith for two different reasons. And I remember hearing the quote that Ruth Graham said, you know, it's my job to love Billy. It's God's job to make him good. And the Lord whispered in my heart, love your boys and enjoy your life. I'll take care of the rest. And it was like 100 pounds off my shoulders. So I'm thinking for somebody listening today, as you enter into a place of surrender, saying, not my preference, but God, you know. So what's my strategy? I bet you anything he'll give you one. Talking to Lisa Whittle, her book is The Hard Good. More with Lisa in just a moment. So true. You're made in the image of God, and you're a masterpiece created anew in Christ Jesus so you can do the wonderful things he planned for you long ago. Hey, I'm Susie Larson. My friend Lisa Whittle joins me today. Her book is titled The Hard Good, Showing Up for God to Work in You When You Want to Shut Down. And she writes like I like try to write as well, just packs so much in the book that you cannot read this thing fast. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Lisa, there was so much in these opening chapters, the first few chapters. I told Angie, our producer, I'm like, we have to get her back. I already know we have to, because I was pulling, you're so quotable for one thing. So I'm pulling all this content out that I feel like there's so much in the middle and the backside of the book that we're not going to get to today that I want you to come back to dig into it again if we can.
I'd love
but this,
to.
Yeah, this one butt knocked me right over, and I loved it. You said, one of our problems is this. You can't accept life because you can't accept you. Wow, say more.
Oh, my goodness. You know, that came, that honestly stopped myself in my tracks, because so much of that is tender to me. You know, that a lot of that came, Susie, from, again, watching my father, who moved us around a lot as kids. You know, I always used to tease and say my father wasn't a Methodist pastor, only because, you know, Methodist pastors historically have gotten appointments, and they move around a lot. But for my dad was a Baptist pastor, and they didn't do that in the Baptist denomination. But I would say he was a restless pastor. He wasn't a Methodist pastor. He was a restless pastor. And but the truth is, even though I was teasing about that, we moved around a lot. And I say in the book, you know, it turns out that my father was running from something a zip code couldn't fix. And, you know, I realized at a certain point that my father, you know, though I'm sure that in some ways, and I can't know this for sure, you know, God might have been calling us away. I can't know that for 100% sure. I was just a child. I also did sense, as kids always often sense, that he was running from himself, that he was running from some inner turmoil, that he was running from his own feelings of guilt from his past. And when things got hard at a place, and when he was in the pastorate, he would, instead of dealing with the problems there, he would just move us. And it was kind of like, it was the family secret that we all knew, was that he couldn't really accept himself. And so even as a child, I sensed that. I sensed that we were moving around to sort of get away from even his own self. And I knew a zip code couldn't fix that. And so, you know, I think I've felt that in my own life, you know, running away from a relationship with a friend that might be hard just because I didn't want to have to deal with what that might mean to fix that relationship. So it was easier just to kind of bail out and walk away. And I think that is a struggle. You know, at the end of the day, you can't really accept anything if you can't accept you, and you can't accept being purposely born into this world and that you were created on purpose. A lot of us struggle so much with things because we struggle with our very identity. And that's why I think that's a universal sort of an evergreen topic for us as believers, one that I wish we could sort of get past and just learn to grow in and accept, because there's so many things that God wants to do with our life, but yet we center there a lot, Susie, because we just can't accept us. And I think God would love for us to resolve this issue.
Oh, boy, amen. Somebody's got to give me an amen on that. When going back to talking about, you know, reframing the word good, you've mentioned this too in the book, but that social media has not helped this conversation one bit, because we have such an illusion, even though we know in our heads, this is their highlights, we have our lowlights, blah, blah, blah. We know that, but in our soul doesn't know that. And I think you're so right that we can't really accept our life because we can't accept us. And we somehow think, if I've got these not yets, if I've got this heartbreak over there, if I've got this issue with my health or my body image or my finances, how in the world am I supposed to find joy and gratitude and even a certain acceptance and a comfort in my own skin? You know, Lisa, that is just rare, but it's the very invitation of God, because everybody has an imperfect life, you know, in which to experience joy. And I really feel like that's so much of what you're saying in the book, that there is this sacred space we can find where all of our ducks aren't lining up in a row in the moment, and it can still be okay because we're tethered to a good God.
Yeah, it's so true. I think, you know, a lot of us do believe exactly what you're saying. You know, if I can get to this certain level, if I can get to this certain space, if life wasn't this hard in this area, I would be so much better. And, you know, maybe we get to that place. Maybe we get that promotion we always wanted, or we get, you know, that, you know, house we've always dreamed of. And we get over there and we find out, oh, life is still hard in this space because here's yet another complication. And it's because this life is not meant to be the all in all. You know, I write somewhere in the book, I think it's towards the end, where I say, you know, I'm always kind of surprised with myself when I expect this world to be better than it is. You know, you can expect earthly complications while we're here. It's not being pessimistic to know that and to say that and to admit that. It's freeing in a way, I think. Well, I mean, the Lord said it would be so. It's John 16:33. In this world, there will be trouble. He told us because, and of course, we know the second part of that verse is take heart, I've overcome the world. I think he wanted us to know full well with our eyes open that this world would be hard. So we wouldn't feel like we were abnormal if our life wasn't this perfect Pinterest picture, right? Otherwise, we would just go through this world, Susie, and we would just feel like we have failed in somewhere to find the directions to the perfect map of the perfect life. And so, you know, it really does become sort of, are we going to run away from the uncomfortable process with God? You know, I know you had me on the show when I wrote my book, Jesus Over Everything, which came out before this just last year. And I write one line in that book that really, really informs the whole book, The Hard Good, which is, what if we haven't gotten to know the good stuff because we haven't sat through the uncomfortable process with God to get us there? And that's really what The Hard Good is about. It's like, you know, maybe we don't know the fullness of joy and the fulfillment and that richness of the relationship with God because we keep running away when these things are pressing in on us rather than saying, God, I don't know how to do this, and I'm afraid even, but I'm here. And I found such a simple joy in just opening my hand, Susie, and saying, God, I'm here, and you're going to have to help me, but I am here, and here I am.
Love that. Listen to this. You don't have to choose between knowing your life isn't perfect and being grateful for it. Hear that, friends? You don't have to choose between knowing your life isn't perfect and being grateful for it. Those two things are equally true. Accepting the parts you don't love will help shape you into the person who no longer needs everything to be perfect. And here's one more. Demanding of ourselves that we be sold on everything about us before we accept it is a big ask. Life is too good to be put on hold by our expectations and perfect circumstances. This is not settling. It's letting go of a standard that's been toxic to our soul. And the reason I wanted to camp on this acceptance piece, Lisa, when there's really so much more in your book that we still have to talk about, because this is a really key place, I think, for so many of us. On one hand, you know, we do go through battles. We go through hard that ends up being good, you know, like sickness and cancer, loss of a job, prodigal. But we also go through a certain kind of hard that we bring upon ourselves because we believe a lie. And I just feel like that is so important to really make a distinction between, is this unnecessary pain and hardship that's we really have entered into because we're believing a lie? So just one last thought about this idea before we move on here. Demanding of ourselves that we be sold on everything about us before we accept us is a big ask. Life's too good to be put on hold by our expectations and perfect circumstances. This is not settling to our soul. It's actually, we're not settling. We're not kind of lowering the bar. It's letting go of a standard that has been toxic to our soul. So say a bit more if you would.
Oh, I'm thrilled that you are focusing here because it is crucial. That's why we started the book this way, because it is so crucial, and I think a lot of us have missed it. You know, I realized at a certain point, Susie, what you're talking about here, I realized at a certain point that I was making this really high demand of myself, and it was stopping me. It was stifling me, and the demand was, but Lisa, you have to love everything about your body, or, you know, and be sold on it all. You have to be sold on everything about your body before you can accept it. And I think that is such a high demand that we be sold on everything. I mean, you know, I'm a pragmatist, so I look at it very practically, which is why I have such, you know, I put all my eggs in the basket with Jesus because I feel so practical about my faith. He is the answer to this life, you know, but it's the way I think of this practically too. I think, you know, that doesn't even make sense that we would have to be sold on absolutely everything about ourselves in order to accept it. And I think it's so freeing to say, you know, maybe I wish I did have longer legs. That's okay. it's okay that I'm not completely sold on the length of my legs. I don't need to be in order to still love my legs and love my life, because my legs work and my legs take me places that I want to go, and my legs have walked me through this life, and I'm so grateful to have breath in my body in this life. And, you know, as a person who is not a naturally I would say positive person. I'm a person, again, I can call myself a realist, but I can be pessimistic, to be honest with you. I think that is a beautiful way to look at life, because it has caused me to be very positive about my life, because I've let go of this demand to all of a sudden turn myself inside out and love everything, and instead say, no, I accept it and I find the good in it. And I think there's a lot of us who need to find the good in things that maybe we're not completely sold on. Well, you don't need to be. It's okay.
Yeah, finding the good and some of the hard. So maybe gravity's had its way with you. Maybe,
right.
You know, a marriage ended and you didn't want it to. Maybe you lost a job that gave you status and you wonder who you are. What if in these sacred spaces you could exhale and say, you know, I belong to God. And as Lisa said, God knows. God knows my name. He knows where I live. And he's writing a story. I might not like this particular chapter, but I'm not less valuable because I'm walking through it. You know, when we come back, I want to talk about just how to show up when you feel like shutting down. Because you think about if there's one of the things, I mean, there are many things the enemy wielded against us in this last 20 months, you know, fear, isolation, but disengagement is one where he has really made it seem easier to disengage. Stay on the couch, become a spectator. My pastor calls that theater religion. And what if you just don't feel like showing up? You know, what if you did? What if you showed up in your story, in your faith, and with God, and decided, I'm going to engage. I'm going to up my game even and believe God for things that are beyond what I've ever dared to pray before. What if you did that? Talking to Lisa Whittle about the hard good, showing up for God to work in you when you want to shut down. We're going to actually talk about that subtitle, that point. When we come back, we've got a handful of copies to give away. Lisa writes like she speaks. It's a fantastic book. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Forget that we serve a Redeemer, the God who makes all things new, the God who knows every detail of your life, and he can restore and redeem. I asked at the beginning of the show if some of you would text in stories of your battles that you'd never want to go through again, but you wouldn't trade because of what God has done and who you've become as a result. Well, Hugh wrote this. Listen to this. In 1973, one of Satan's IEDs blew my family apart. For 2 years, I prayed for the return of my three-year-old, and I heard the Lord say, I hear your heart. You take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. I had to let go and move on. Today, my son has been responsible for a school in Haiti with more than 300 children. I have 5 children with a story. Jacob sitting in his rocking chair in Goshen watching Joseph's 2 sons playing must have praised God and would not have changed a thing. Wow, Hugh, thank you for sharing. Talking to best-selling author, speaker Lisa Whittle about her amazing book, The Hard Good, Showing Up for God to Work in You When You Want to Shut Down. And we spent a good share of the show. Literally, friends, I don't think we got out of chapter 1 or 2, so there's so much more in this book. But let's talk about this idea. I really do believe this, Lisa, that one of the things the enemy has leveraged in this last 20 months is this disengagement. You know, it's just easier to sit on the couch, easier to disengage. So I love the idea of your subtitle, Showing Up. So how do you show up for God to work in you when you want to shut down?
I agree with you completely. I think there's a lot of us that want to shut down. First of all, I think one of the things we talked about in the last segment was the idea of this commitment to presence, which is this simple, God, I'm here. You know, and I think that's so powerful, because I think even in this, you know, the subtle shutting down of, you know, sort of this flight idea of, you know, mentally checking out, numbing, and even, you know, walking away from sitting in the presence of God. You know, the opposite of that is a quiet showing up of, God, I'm just committing to the presence of sitting here. And that doesn't have to be fancy, Susie. That doesn't have to be bells and whistles. I think that God can do so much with us walking outside and being in nature and just lifting our palms up to the Lord and saying, God, I am broken to pieces, but I'm here and I want to hear from you. And so that simple commitment to presence, rather than numbing out, even moments that I want to maybe scroll my phone because the pain feels real, I think that's a deflection method that a lot of us have turned to, quite honestly. I mean, it's easy to just get onto Facebook real quick. And some of that we just haven't even paid attention to, right? But it's a shutting down, I think, that has been permeating our souls, turning on Netflix. And none of those things are innately wrong. It's not like they're sinful, but the thing that we need the most is the nurturing of our Father. And so, you know, I would just say to people in the tenderest of way as your sister in Christ, and knowing that this is something that I deal with myself, is, boy, you need your Father's touch. You need your Father's voice. You need your Father's tenderness. And so I know it's easier to turn to social media or to turn to Netflix or even to crack open a book. But, you know, there's nothing that will soothe you like just being with the Lord for a few minutes, even quiet. I'm telling you, my prayers as I've gotten older have been a lot less about my talking and much more about just sitting in the presence of God. So I think that's super important. And listening to your body, as you know, it gives us signals that we are shutting down, even in our relationships with people, where we become triggered by things that they say and things that happen in moments, especially in this volatile culture. And a lot of families are breaking down over just different issues of our day, political and otherwise. And so, you know, when your upper lip begins to sweat and you begin to get real short with your answers, you know, that's your body signaling to you that you're shutting down. And I love how God created us with facets. And so it's all intertwined, body, mind, and spirit. And so I think paying attention to that and giving those things over to the Lord quickly so that it doesn't get out of control, because our feelings can get very out of control quickly.
Indeed. In fact, I'd love for you to make the distinction between bossy emotions and managed feelings.
Well, that is something that I think, you know, I talk about that sort of a lot throughout the book in kind of an underlying way, because as hard things come into our life, Susie, we tend to have these feelings that accompany them. Of course, it's normal, because feelings are God-given, and so they're nothing to be ashamed of. They are something to be honored. But what happens is because culture has sort of made our feelings into this idol, you need to say whatever you want, respond however you want, regardless of anything else, whether it's wise, whether it will harm you in the end, however you feel, just go with it, rather than in those moments when we feel something, bring them under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because God created us with feelings, so it would make sense that he would know how they would best work. Our feelings become bossy, and they can control us. So I liken it to a gauge versus a God. And so when our feelings are a gauge, they're managed. They are managed by the Holy Spirit. They're managed by the manager, by the creator who made them. And so they give us very important signals. They're like a gauge on our car or whatever that tell us what's kind of going on under the hood, what's happening inside of our souls and what needs to be paid attention to, what's triggering us, what we need to sit with the Lord and work out, and maybe even a counselor in some spaces and sort through and work through. When they become godlike, then they exert control over us and they boss us. And then we get into situations where maybe we're in a relationship with someone and they are saying something that we don't like, and our feelings just, it's like we feel like our feelings overtake us. And I've heard a lot of people recently, they say, you know, I just feel so out of control. I feel like, you know, my feelings are just taking over me. And I've said things on, you know, Facebook that I regret, or I've responded to someone and I didn't really mean it, but now our relationship is broken. And so it's really important that as these hard things come into our lives, that we give these feelings over to God so that those things don't happen and we don't have to mop up after a lot of things that become broken.
Mm, boy, that's so good. Let's talk about this one, about how to cheer for others who are getting the very thing that you long for. I mean, let's talk envy. Let's talk jealousy, because those are some of the places. You know, it's interesting when I'm speaking on this topic, Lisa, I'll talk about, you know, you hear these phrases, boys will be boys, girls will be girls. And when jealousy comes up, it's often attached, girls will be girls. But in James, it says jealousy is not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So you see this progression of kind of earthly, it's not spiritual, then it's unspiritual, then it's demonic. So it literally is like a gateway sin to so many other kinds of evil, is what Scripture says, because jealousy is, you know, the catalyst to so many greater evils, is what it says. So speak to that whole idea of, I mean, I feel like we need to be ruthless with some of these things, I mean, that are lingering in our soul, because you act out of those places, nothing good ever comes of it. What do you say?
Well, I certainly don't think we need to minimize jealousy, what it can do to our life, envy and jealousy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know according to the Bible, I mean, you know, look where it got people, the jealousy. I mean, it went all the way to murder, right? So, I mean, you know, we really have to pay attention to it. I think what's happened historically in the church, Suzanne, you know how much I adore the church, and that's where my greatest ministry is. I think we have to be honest about the fact that in the past, it's been one of those things we haven't really wanted to talk about. It's like, you know, or if we have talked about it, especially amongst women, it's been like, oh, just don't have those jealous feelings. And I think what I wanted to do in this chapter was say, oh, no, those feelings are real and they will at times come up, because they're very human and we are very human. And what do I do with that? How do I address that? Because they will come up. You know, it's very difficult when you've wanted a baby and you are having a hard time having a baby and you're planning people's baby shower. Man, it's hard to cheer for someone else in their elation over their pregnancy, and that's real. And so I didn't want people to go to that weird guilt place and a shame place, but rather than that, say, let me help you know what's for in my life when jealousy, which has been very real for me as well, what I've done with that. And what I've learned in such a strong way is that you have to have a strategy. Anything that would be demonic in the Bible, right, that God would call demonic, we'd need a strategy, a real spiritual strategy. And so what I've found to be a great strategy is chosen generosity. And when you choose this wild and radical generosity, which is such a spiritual principle, scriptural principle, generosity, you combat that. And I think jealousy is something that we have to take real seriously and understand how formidable a foe it is and take it on. And as you state, it is something that leads to so many other things and so much bitterness and complication within our own soul that we need this strategy. And it's hard. That's why I made the book. It's hard to cheer for someone else. It's hard to have that generosity in your spirit. And you know, people have said, well, don't I need to feel it before I cheer for someone? I don't think initially you have to feel it to the degree that you think you do. What right. happens is as you move forward in that strategy to cheer for people, your feelings follow, and then the generosity begins to flow. And it's a great strategy. Yeah.
I love that so much. When you're generous in other areas of life, you believe in the principle, you trust God, and whether you feel like it or not, you sow generous seeds. Well, I love this because it really is the antidote. And I pray I didn't come across too hard on it. I mean, all of us deal with jealousy, but to see how toxic it is for the soul, and that you offer this practical step to be generous. Because the thing is, you know, as you say in the book, we're wrapped up out of time here, though, but that God can do something beautiful for them and beautiful for you. It's just a different beautiful. And we got to trust that He's good. He's good to them and He's good to you. Lisa, I feel like we just scratched the surface. So please come back so we can dig in again. Thank you for writing such an incredible book.
Oh, I'd love to come back. I love to be with you anytime I can.
All right, dearie. Lisa Whittle, friends, The Hard Good is her book. I hope you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.